Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends in the public media spectrum across the region, bringing you the latest news of the day. I'm Carl Lengel, your host. It is the 23rd of February, 2026. The U.S. Supreme Court last week overturned many of the Trump administration's tariffs on foreign imports. Montana Public Radio's Shaley Ragar reports the ruling is welcome news for Montana producers, but tariffs remain a thorny political issue.
President Donald Trump said the tariffs were a necessary tool to curb drug trafficking and later to correct imbalances in foreign trade agreements. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled Friday that Trump overstepped Congress's authority, nullifying the tariffs. That ruling stems from a suit filed by two small businesses, but members of the Blackfeet Nation in Montana filed their own lawsuit first, arguing that Trump infringed on tribal sovereignty. That suit is still pending and based on a different legal framework, but their attorney, Monica Trunnell, says the ruling supports the plaintiff's case.
This ruling is very good across the board, great outcome. I'm glad to see it.
Trump told national media he is deeply disappointed by the decision and is looking to reenact the tariffs. Montana's congressional delegates were more careful in their responses. A spokesperson for Montana U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy said he'll continue to support Trump's efforts to level the trade playing field. U.S. Senator Steve Daines commended Trump for trying to address imbalances and also committed to supporting the administration's future efforts. Congressman Troy Downing said tariffs have broadened market access and generated billions in revenue. He said as Congress evaluates trade policy, he'll focus on Montana producers who face the greatest impacts from tariffs. Congressman Ryan Zinke did not respond to a request for comment. In Helena, I'm Shaley Riker.
Public health services for the homeless are now available from one centralized location in Billings, a shelter on the city's south side. Yellowstone Public Radio's Kayla DeRoche has more.
The Yellowstone County Regional Public Health Clinic cut the ribbon Friday at the Montana Rescue Mission. The Healthcare for the Homeless program through Riverstone Health offers both primary care and mental health care to people experiencing housing instability. Community Partnerships Program Manager Nicole Gilbert says Riverstone is able to offer free services to those in need through a U.S. Department of Health and Human Services grant.
It's called the Healthcare for the Homeless Insurance, and it allows us to offers all of our services that are within Riverstone, not just here at the Healthcare for the Homeless, services for free. And then once someone is housed, they can keep it for another year.
She says these clinic services previously operated out of multiple locations, and the new Montana Rescue Mission Clinic expands resources at one convenient site.
They do have their night shelter, and they have apartments, and they're also offering us more services that we can refer to.
The clinic is open to the wider community. Hours vary day to day, but it's open generally Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. through 4 p.m. In Billings, I'm Kayla DeRoche.
February is American Heart Month, and health experts are putting a spotlight on cardiovascular diseases and the tools available to all Wyomingites to help save lives. Eric Galatas with the Wyoming News Service has more.
Heart disease is the leading cause of death in Wyoming, and hypertension or high blood pressure is one of the leading precursors of life-changing events like heart attack or stroke. Lisa Salberg with the nonprofit Hypertrophic Cardiomyopathy Association says it's important to take a moment and think about your family heart health history.
We want to encourage people to look back at their family tree and see if there's any cardiac diagnoses or even symptoms. If you have a family history of stroke, you should be discussing family history of stroke with your chosen healthcare provider.
In 2023, over 31% of Wyoming residents reported being told by a health professional that they had high blood pressure. But hypertension is known as a silent killer because nearly half of people don't know they have high blood pressure until they experience negative health impacts. Like many other chronic health conditions, high blood pressure can be managed through medicines, diet, and exercise. Hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, or HCM, causes the heart muscle to thicken. Solberg says there are now medicines available and defibrillators can be implanted to help resurrect people in seconds in the event of sudden cardiac arrest. Early detection can help prevent life-threatening events, but Solberg says fewer than 1 in 5 Americans with HCM get diagnosed.
Whether you have Latin ancestry, African ancestry, Caucasian ancestry, doesn't matter. 1 in 200 to 1 in 500 people have the genetic mutations that cause this disease.
Each year, more than 350,000 cardiac arrests in the U.S. happen outside of hospitals, and 90% are fatal. The real first responder is often a friend, family member, or even a nearby stranger. Cardiopulmonary resuscitation, or CPR, can double or even triple a victim's chance of survival when performed immediately, but currently just 4 in 10 people step in to help before a health professional arrives. To learn the basics of how to perform CPR, visit heart.org/nation. This is Eric Golatis reporting for the Wyoming News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
As the battle for the American West's great open spaces heats up, conservationists are sounding alarms. The Trump administration's nomination of Delaware North executive Scott Socha as head of the National Park Service could signal a strong shift toward privatization. Delaware North is a company that contracts with the National Park Service to provide park visitors with lodging, dining, and retail services in the parks, including Yosemite, Grand Canyon, and Yellowstone. According to the Delaware North website, Scott Socha oversaw Delaware North's ascension as the largest winter adventure tour operator through acquisitions near Yellowstone and Vail, Colorado. Two organizations, the National Parks Conservation Association and the Coalition to Protect America's National Parks, reacted tentatively to the nomination. Press releases last week lauded the choice to fill the year-long vacancy while listing the NPS's many challenges. Both urged the nominee to reverse damage done over the last year. As recently as December of last year, conservation organizations were battling Utah Senator Mike Lee's amendment to sell off portions of federal lands, including national parks. Livingston photographer and conservationist Tom Murphy is concerned. In remarks made to YPR during a break at a Mammoth Hot Springs seminar appearance in Yellowstone National Park over the weekend, Murphy summed up one of the conservation movement's strongest appeals. Once you've seen it, you get it.
Got to get a message to them somehow. I honestly don't know how to make it happen very fast, but my goal, A, I like to eat, so I like to make a living at photography, but the big goal of mine is to educate people in the standpoint, in a positive way. If I can illustrate nature, wildlife, wild land is beautiful, then people will assign value to those things. If they find them valuable, then they figure they're worth saving.
Steve Socha's nomination now goes to the Senate for confirmation. The EPA on Friday repealed standards for limiting toxic pollution that comes out of power plants. As Montana Public Radio's Ellis Julin reports, Montana is home to one of the highest emitters of these cancer-causing chemicals.
The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has finalized its repeal of the Mercury and Air Toxic Standards, or MATS. Originally passed in 2024, the policy would have required power plants to install filtration systems to reduce emissions of pollutants like mercury, arsenic, and lead. The Trump administration said the move will save utility companies money, but health professionals say the costs far outweigh any savings. Rob Byron is a doctor with Montana Health Professionals for a Healthy Climate.
Failure to reduce emissions from coal-fired power plants results in increased particulate matter and other air pollution that puts people at higher risk to have more heart attacks, more strokes, and particularly concerns about people who have asthma or other lung diseases.
Byron says this policy change will result in needless deaths from preventable causes. Many coal plants already meet the standards EPA is now rescinding. Montana's largest coal-fired power plant, Colstrip, does not. Colstrip is the highest emitter of these air toxins in the country. The Northern Cheyenne tribe, whose reservation sits downwind of Colstrip, strongly supported the 2024 regulations. Nick Morales, an attorney with the environmental law firm Earth Justice, says downwind communities will suffer the most harm.
Weakening clean air rules for the benefit of polluters doesn't make us more energy independent. It just makes people sick.
This rollback is likely to draw legal challenges. Morales says Earth Justice isn't afraid to see the government in court. In Missoula, I'm Ellis Julin.
Montana is falling short of best practices when it comes to paying for school maintenance. That's according to a new nationwide report on school facilities. Montana Public Radio's Austin Amistoy has the details.
The message from Montana's school maintenance directors to lawmakers is straightforward. We need help. Several spoke before members of the School Funding Interim Commission this month, including Helena Public Schools Facility Director Todd Verrill. He told lawmakers the district's deferred maintenance bill had ballooned to more than $100 million before voters approved a major building overhaul last year. Verrill says the school was doing its best with scant resources.
If I sound like I'm angry, folks, I am. I come from the military where there's a $900 billion budget a year at the federal level, and we're scraping for pennies to educate our children.
New data from National School Infrastructure Advocates backed up the administrators' concerns. The 21st Century School Fund found Montana pays $100 million less than it needs to annually to keep up with basic school maintenance, like fixing faucets, replacing light fixtures, and keeping the heat on. Stacy Auk is business manager at Hobson Public School in central Montana. She told lawmakers schools like hers are so old, the stakes are existential.
If you lose your school, you lose your community, and I think that that's a fear for some of our smaller schools.
Major projects like building a new school are usually voted on and funded by local voters, but those voters have been rejecting funding requests at record rates in recent years. Montana is far from the only state struggling to pay the physical costs of public school. The 21st Century School Fund reports the national maintenance gap is more than $29 billion annually. In Missoula, I'm Austin Amistoy.
Glacier National Park is ending its ticketed entry system this summer. The park announced in a release last week. The five-year program has been addressing congestion in some of its most popular areas. Instead of reservations, the park will have three-hour parking limits at Logan Pass and shuttle bus reservations for going to the Sun Road. Park officials have said the three-hour limit will enable visitors to see the visitor center or complete a shorter day hike. Overnight parking at Logan Pass will only be allowed for permitted backcountry users and registered guests of Granite Park Chalet. Tickets for the shuttle will be available on a first-come, first-served basis and can be purchased through recreation.gov. Wyoming's Anna Gibson and Colorado's Cameron Smith celebrated a surprise fourth-place finish in Skimo's mixed relay at the Olympics over the weekend. The Associated Press said that given their road to the Milan Cortina Games, they didn't even have a spot about 2 months ago. They're relishing just being in Bormio as the sport, newly referred to as Skimo, makes its Olympic debut. This mixed relay course offered a different setup than the sprint race, with an extra ascent and descent adding to the already difficult challenge. The mixed teams alternated between female and male racers over four lung-burning laps. Gibson and Smith were in the back at the start of the race, but they steadily climbed up and up as they made their way along the challenging course. At one point, they were in bronze medal position. The Swiss team of Marianne Fatten and John Kistler earned silver, while Spanish racers Ana Alonso Rodriguez and Oriol Cardona Cole captured the bronze. That's The Worm for this Monday. Catch up with us tomorrow morning. There's another episode waiting for you then.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.